Hello, and welcome to the final episode of my podcast mini-series, Secrets I'll Never Tell. The past few weeks have flown by so fast, and I can't believe it's the last episode already, but I've had such a wicked time chatting to all these different people about their stories and their lives. The mini-series and the EP are out now, they're all yours, and so for this final episode, I wanted to do something a bit special. Today's guest is the amazing Suri. She's a singer, songwriter, brilliant performer, wonderful human being, and she also happens to be my sister. I wanted to chat to someone I really trust about the themes of this EP and the stories behind some of the most vulnerable lyrics. So this week, Suri is interviewing me. We cracked open a bottle of wine, sat down on the floor of my bedroom, and talked through each track on Secrets I'll Never Tell in detail. I'm a bit nervous for you to hear this one, but I'm also quite excited for you to have the full picture of where these songs came from. So I really hope you enjoy this chat, and thank you so much for joining me for this little mini-series of podcasts. It's been really fun to put together. So, until I can see you in the flesh again, all that's left for me to say is this is the final episode of Secrets I'll Never Tell with me and Suri.
Right, feeling good?
You ready?
I think I'm going to be too weird.
That's fine, we like weird. Hi, sis.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm good, how are you?
I am good. I've had one glass of wine. I'm a little bit tipsy.
Oh, excellent. Lightweight that
I'm
you are.
I'm nervous what you're going to ask me.
Oh, well, but I want all of the secrets that you'll never tell.
Hey.
Hey. Yay.
But yeah, I'm happy you're here. Thanks for doing this.
Oh, I'm happy to be here and it's lovely to chat to you like this.
So I've been asking everybody, and I'm interested to know, how has the past year been for you?
It's been a ride, hasn't it? What a year we've had. But I'm okay, thanks. I think there's light at the end of the tunnel now, so bring it on. Bring on that light. I'm a little bit bored of screaming into the void, as we all are. But there's been some lovely moments of the past year as well, actually, and some space to think, reflect, write, create, share some music. That's been nice. So, yeah, are you all right?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm happy to be here with you. I think, like you, there's been some really nice moments and some really nice things. There's been some sad moments as well, and there's been some struggles. But, yeah, I feel very lucky to be in a safe place, and my family's healthy, and we're still here and we're still kicking.
Yes.
And we're here doing this.
Yes, so, we are.
Yeah, it's not been too shabby.
And because you have written a beautiful EP.
Stop it.
I love it. I'm not going to stop because I can't. It's absolutely stunning. And I'd love you to tell me about it. What's the story? Let's start with the title, Secrets I'll Never Tell. What's the story behind that and this EP?
So, a couple of years ago, I put out an EP called Letters to Strangers. And I think at that point, I'd always written songs with my life in mind, or from a sort of viewpoint of like working through experiences and stuff, but I'd never written really personal stuff until that EP. That EP had a song called Therapy on it, and a song called Boys Don't Cry, and another song called Pray No More, and they were all really sort of personal stories that I was quite nervous to share. And then as soon as they came out, I sort of accidentally realised how powerful being vulnerable is. And there were so many lovely and really heartfelt messages from people that I'd never met on social media and on emails and after gigs and stuff, just sort of pouring their hearts out. And I sort of realised how important it is to talk about things that are sometimes a bit taboo or a bit harder to talk about. Mm. And so then last year in lockdown, I was sort of playing through lots of old demos and writing new stuff and sort of collecting a group of songs together for a new project. And then these songs all kind of sort of sat together as a really nice collection of like really honest, really vulnerable songs that I felt I was now kind of ready to put out into the world and be able to talk about and present.
Nice.
Yeah.
So why now? Why is now the right time to be sharing these particular songs and these stories? I know you've built up to this point, and now, I mean, we are so lucky to be having them. But yeah, How did you get to this point?
I would say, I think I feel ready to talk about the stuff that is in these songs. So, yeah, there's some lyrics that are really, really personal, which I think a couple of years ago I'd have felt too nervous or too vulnerable to share. But now I can kind of stand by and go, no, I mean that, and I want to share that, even though sometimes it can be a bit scary.
But that must be quite a nice feeling, actually, to be that confident and comfortable with the vulnerability and with that exposure.
Yeah, I think it's also that I've been really lucky that I've been given the opportunity to do it, and that because people have responded in such a lovely way in the past of saying, oh my God, if you're talking about therapy, we'd love to hear about it. Like that, before sharing that song, I was so, so nervous. And then afterwards to be given the permission and to be given that space to talk about it and feel really comfortable doing it kind of gives you more confidence. And now I'm in a place where I can go, well, I can talk about anything now and not feel scared to do it. And that's really lovely.
Brilliant. Yeah. And I think it's that creative outlet that we've always been fortunate to have to pour our hearts and souls and feelings into that quite cathartic process. But then, of course, releasing it into a wider world and giving it to the audience for their judgment and their interpretation is where the nerves and the, especially, vulnerability comes with something so personal. But it feels quite grown up as well. I think that's what, from my sisterly point of view.
We're getting older, aren't we?
I know, God, we are. But it's really lovely. It's so nice to hear that and to...
Thanks, yes.
Yeah, I'm very proud of you.
Aw, thanks. I appreciate it.
So, All My Famous Friends.
Yes.
Tell me about that gorgeous track.
So, that song was actually written before the pandemic. That song is all about social media and how it can affect our mental health.
How does social media affect your mental health?
Well, do you know what? I've been talking about this a lot, on the podcast as well, a lot. And I have such a love-hate relationship, because on one hand, it's an amazing thing to be able to connect with people and chat with people around the world and stay connected during a pandemic and, you know, do live stream concerts and just check in with people and build a deeper connection with people. So I love it for that. But then on the other hand, especially at a time when you can't really be with people as much and we've been locked away and away from our loved ones, it can just become a bit much, and it's a bit daunting, and you're always presented with these beautiful pictures of people and people being successful and people being this and that and all the things that you wish you were sometimes. And it's just quite overwhelming. And so this song was written, about a year and a half ago, maybe even 2 years ago now. And I'd always loved it. I played it a few times live, but it just hadn't found a place on previous projects. And then during the pandemic, I sort of took a bit of a back step with social media for a while, just to go, you know, I need to kind of live day to day and live in the real world a bit. And I listened back to it and I was like, wow, this really kind of resonates with me more now than before. So yeah, we sort of polished it off and reproduced it last year, and then this is it in its final form.
It's so nice. And it's that, as you say, comparison. I think that's the tricky side of social media. We're always constantly competing and comparing. It's so hard not to, even though there is no point. We're all living our own lives. We're all on our own paths. You know, our path shouldn't look like that person's and that person's, but it's so tough. And then in a year where our lives were reduced to a screen because we had that luxury of the technology to connect us, but we had no other means of connection and communication. Very, very bizarre. How do you feel now coming out of, hopefully things are on the up and we're gently kind of, we'll be recovering from the pandemic. How do you feel your relationship with social media and your mental health is at now?
Ooh, good question. I feel in a much better place with it. I think maybe 6 months into the pandemic was when it was at its worst, because that's when we'd got past the really scary bit and when there was the kind of camaraderie of like, we're all in this together, and as much as this is really, you know, tough, and especially when people were getting sick and, you know, that's, it's horrible for anyone. But then there was a sort of a murky period last summer where we were kind of allowed out, kind of see people, everything was kind of okay. And that's when it actually became quite tough, because I found myself wanting to go back to doing everything and being everything to anyone and saying yes to every invitation and doing everything. But at the same time, having that low level anxiety of like, there is still a pandemic going on and still like there's the risk of people not being well and stuff. And so I sort of in the, I can't believe we've had a third lockdown now, but in the third lockdown, in January of this year, I really set about like putting that, my mental health as the like main priority. So I was reading all these books about how, you know, don't use your phone for the first hour of the morning, take little periods off it, you know, structure your day like in a way that you're constantly building yourself back up to being in the real world as opposed to just constantly staring at a screen. And that was so beneficial. And now I think going back into the real world and it's like slowly creeping out of lockdown, I feel way more ready to kind of face everything. But nice. Yeah, it's a weird one. How about you?
Yeah, I relate to a lot of what you just said, really. I think that second wave, the winter was tough. I think we all waded through quite a rough winter this year, but now we're coming out of it. And yeah, I've always had a tricky relationship with social media for the same points that you've been making, but I think there's a nice balance to be found with everything, and we'll probably always be trying to strive to get it right, and we won't constantly get it right, but there's lots of positives to it as well. Talking of coming out of lockdown into hopefully a vibrant summer and a track that has a real confident, vibrant, kind of colourful vibe production-wise is Have a Good Life, So You Never. I love it. It's got such a...
Thanks. Love your little segue there as well. That was amazing.
Thanks. Seamless. Tell me about it. I love this track. It's brilliant.
Thank you. I'm quite nervous about this one because it's quite different for me. Like, it was so much fun writing, but it's... yeah, it's kind of upbeat, and it's essentially like a breakup anthem in a way, and it's like all the things you sort of wish you said in the moment but didn't have the courage to, or something. That's kind of the vibe. But because it's quite like an angsty track, and it's quite angry, and it's quite in your face, like sonically as well, I'm quite nervous because I think a lot of the stuff I've done before has been, you know, a bit more mellow, a bit more piano, a bit sadder, a bit more emotional, and this one's like, yeah, it's quite out there. And we just filmed a video for it a couple of weeks ago, which was so much fun. But again, it's quite different. So I'm excited for people to hear it. We're talking like, what, a week before it's coming out or something. So I'm quite nervous, but I'm also excited. It's nice. It's kind of, it feels like a bit of a sort of new step in like a direction that I'd love to explore more, nice. But haven't done so yet.
Brilliant. I don't think you've got anything to be nervous about, because as you say, in feeling such ownership about the feelings and the stories anyway, how could... It's so authentic, then, the sound that goes with it. You just need to own it as you are. And that empowering sound, that anthemic feel, it's so right. It doesn't feel like a huge departure. It just feels like...
Amazing.
The right next step or next sound or...
that's such a relief, because sometimes I listen back and I listen through and I get really, really nervous. Nice. And then sometimes I listen through and be like, oh, no, this is fine. But it's quite a nerve-wracking thing putting out into the world.
Well, it's bold and it's brave, as with any part of kind of creative sharing and songwriting as a whole. You're just, again, you're putting your heart out there, but it's a good heart.
Aww,
it's a
strong thanks, heart. Thanks, sis. Likewise.
And talking about that kind of party vibe, production-wise, for Have a Good Life, but then going into Sick of the Parties, which has a different little... I'm still trying to do some seamless segues.
No, I love it.
Not sure that one worked. But Sick of the Parties, Growing Up.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, this resonates with me very much, but give me your spin on how you feel about all of that track.
So this one, Sick of the Parties, was written... I was sitting around a table of my friends. This was last February, I think, so just before the pandemic hit. And it was one of my friend's 30th birthdays. And I was looking around the table and there were a lot of couples and a lot of people planning to move out of the city and planning to have kids or, you know, planning the next stage of life. And I'm just not ready for that yet. And as with a certain group of friends, they're all a few years older than me, and I sort of felt like I was looking into the future and going, I can see myself in that space in a few years' time, maybe 5 years' time, maybe 10 years' time, but I'm not ready to not be stupid, and I'm not ready to not be foolish and make loads of mistakes, and I still want to learn loads of stuff, and I don't feel ready to... I feel like settle's got like a negative connotation to it, but sort of take a step back from like being a city boy and just sort of living my life. So yeah, that song's kind of me saying, I acknowledge that I'm like growing up, and that's a really important thing to do, and I'm hopefully getting a bit wiser each year and learning more things and experiencing more things, but I also still want to like give myself the space to like make mistakes and like fall in and out of love and not feel too much pressure to, you know, adult all the time.
Oh God, I think, you know, if growing up on paper is just a number that's ticking over each year, I don't think we ever have to lose that playfulness, that, I mean, call it whatever, call it stupidity, call it, you know, whatever you like. I think that is innately in us, whether we like it or not. I mean, we might drive the people around us mad, but I don't think we'll ever lose that. I hope we don't ever lose that anyway, of just being idiots.
You know what someone said to me the other day, which I love, is that, so I'm an August birthday, which means in my school year I was always the youngest, and obviously I'm the youngest of our family of four siblings. I've always been the youngest in most things.
He's the baby.
The baby, baby Ben. And I kind of loved that because it meant I could always learn from like you and learn from...
Oh God, I'm so sorry.
And that's why I'm such a fuck up. I've always loved like looking up to you and looking up to my brothers and also my friends and stuff, and having role models in that way. But someone said to me, when you're younger, hang out with people that are a bit older than you, and they'll kind of, their wisdom will sort of rub off on you. But when you're older, hang out with people that are younger than you, because they'll give you like youth. And I love that. Like, I want to be one of those 50-year-olds who's still like going to the club, and like going on lovely holidays, and like, you know, being active. And I don't want to feel like I have to act the age that I am. So I don't want to turn 35 and be like, well, I simply must buy a house now, or whatever it is. Like, I want to sort of just
good luck maintain to us a bit doing that. But I completely agree. I'm just sorry that you had, that you thought you were going to gain any wisdom.
Oh, shut up. No, you were great.
To me. But I love that. I think we'll always stay young.
I hope so.
Maybe our parents would love us to just kind of like sort our lives out a little bit.
Get your shit together.
We can park that for another few years, right?
Yeah, we've got a bit. We can blame the pandemic.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to use that for years. COVID, Panny D. But our parents, they're absolute legends.
Legends.
We are so lucky to be in the family that we are, because you can't choose your family.
Agreed.
Born into it. And I think we struck gold in many, many ways.
100%.
Tell me about the lucky ones.
So the lucky ones is basically my... Well... It's my life up to this point as a gay man, but then also...
You're gay?
Shock.
I'm sorry.
I didn't mean to tell you this now, but yeah, it's been a long time coming.
Never tell.
So the song... I actually phoned our parents yesterday, because I was like, I feel like they deserve to hear it before it comes out, as just sort of a little... token of my appreciation, and obviously it paints them in a wonderful light because they're wonderful people. But the lyrics of the chorus are, my mama still holds me, my daddy still calls me son, I'm still here, I'm one of the lucky ones. Aww. I thought I was a misfit, but I was so overcome when they said, we're the lucky ones. And I wanted to sort of read that to them, because I felt like it's the first time I'd sort of sat down with them and said, you know, thank you.
Yeah.
Because I'm so lucky to have been born into such an accepting family and accepting country. And in a way, as much as it was a struggle to sort of find my way through that sort of, you know, sexuality journey, I'm in such a good place with it now. Good. And that's why it also feels like I'm sort of ready to share this song, which is obviously such a personal one. And then, like, in the second verse, it sort of looks into the future and goes, well, maybe by sort of 31, I might find someone that I really, really love again. And maybe 35, we'll settle down and have a family or whatever. And then the last verse is me sort of acknowledging that, that I'm just so lucky to be living in this country, because there's so many places in the world where people grow up gay or bi or you know, or anything, and just aren't accepted, or yeah. or can't even don't aren't even able to come out, or don't have that luxury. So yeah, it was. I actually wrote it with two of my best friends. We used to live together, and it was like a really cathartic one to write, but it's definitely a scary one to put out.
Well, of course, I think it's the most touching and the most beautiful on the EP for its openness, for its just stripped back, bare, bold, authentic you. It's just, it's gorgeous. Again, I don't think you have any reason to be nervous, but I can understand why, because it's, of course, a big deal. But it's so, oh, it's so wonderful to, again, see and hear you at this point just proudly saying, this is who I am, and I'm good with it, and I'm recognising it, and I love you.
I love you too. Do you remember, like, I think it was probably, like, must have been 10 years ago now, it was, like, New Year's Eve, and we just played a gig together, and I was dropping you off at a party on New Year's Eve, and then I think I was driving home afterwards or something, and I turned around to you while I was driving, and I was like, I think I like boys, but I don't really know, and I'm not really sure, but maybe I do, and and you sort of, you turned around, and you were just like, oh my God, I'm so proud of you, whatever it is, it's cool, but like, I'm so proud of you, and it was, I remember it vividly, like, it was such a lovely moment, but I don't know if you, do you remember that?
I mean, I feel like I want to pretend that I also remember that really vividly, and that was a really beautiful moment. I feel really bad for not.
I mean, we were also, I wasn't drunk, but I think you were a little bit tipsy. It was New Year's Eve.
So I do remember that trip. I remember that New Year's Eve. But I had always thought, because, again, it's very easy to be on this side of things, feeling like coming out was a very, you know, easy thing, because within the family, yes, wonderful, supportive place, but that's not undermining or negating how big a deal it was for you, and I'm not in your shoes. But I thought that we had had some drinks, and maybe I'm confusing memories. I thought we were in a pub. And that we'd had a conversation about some friends. And I think I was kind of maybe gently probing you on partners and seeing sort of whether you opened up in that way. Mm. And then I thought that you had mentioned at that point, actually, that you were interested in boys. But I might be confusing memories, because I do remember that trip. I know exactly what New Year's Eve and what party you're talking about. But the whole thing seemed... Yeah, quite a happy blur from my point of view. Yeah. I hope it was a happy blur for you. It was a very natural thing. I mean, we were thick as thieves growing up, like always have been, still are, but it's that connection from when we were super young where I did just want to play with you in a slightly different way to the way I played with our other two brothers. And there was something about even expressing ourselves through dressing up or, I don't know, playing with clothes or playing with hair. And that was just so, I mean, it was so innocent, but it was so natural and it was so lovely. I wonder, even the lyric in The Lucky Ones, was there a moment actually when you were about 11 when Dad did catch you in a dress?
Yeah, so all those lyrics are true. So at 7, I used to go down to our little playroom and play with your Barbies, but not tell anyone. And it would be before everyone else was up. So it was when I was the youngest, and obviously I'm still the youngest, but when everyone else was sleeping, I used to wake up at, I don't know, 5 a.m. or something. And they were like, you know, just keep yourself to yourself for like an hour before everyone else wakes up. And I would go down and I'd play with your Barbies for like an hour, not tell anyone. Because, you know, for some reason, society was telling me that wasn't okay. And then put them away and then, you know, not talk about it. And then 11, yeah, I vividly remember playing in one of your dresses and Dad walking in to, like, tell me dinner was ready or something. And then the rest of it's true as well. I think 13, I sort of maybe started to realise what it was and that I sort of felt a bit different from everyone. And then 18 and then moving down to the city and then getting to my first relationship and all that. And I think, do you know what... I think the hardest thing for me was always feeling like I had to lie about it. And not that anyone was ever disrespectful about it in a way of like asking or probing. But even if it popped up in conversation, like, or someone mentioned something and I felt like I had to lie and say, no, of course I'm not gay or anything like that. That was, I think, the hardest thing, because like lying to your own family or your friends or something is such a horrible thing. But I just wasn't ready to... talk about it, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's been a really it's been a really interesting sort of recovery, sounds quite dramatic, but sort of a learning experience from that moment of going, you know, there's a lot of unlearning I have to do now as well. Like even things like, I still don't feel comfortable holding hands in the street with a guy.
Yeah.
You know, and that's in London. Imagine if we were somewhere else in the world where it's even less accepted. Or like, you know, it seems like something a little odd to some people. And so that's something I'd really like to work on and get over. And
yeah, and it's so, obviously it's so sad because again, it's so natural that you should want and be allowed to just hold hands with whoever you damn well please down the street or anywhere else. How do we get to a point where that, yeah, how can you get to a point where you feel good about that, do you think?
I hope year on year things get better. There's always pushback to change and to, you know, progression and stuff, but I do feel like we're in a much better place than we were. Well, I feel like I'm personally in a much better place than I was 10 years ago, but I feel as a society we are as well, and just hopefully just everything will become more accepted. Yeah. And I'm really hopeful, as much as it's kind of messy, change is messy, and it's always, you know, there's always push and pull and people don't agree and whatever, but when it's people's livelihoods and when it's things that you can't change about yourself, it's just something that's deep within you. I hope that, you know, with each generation, it will, you know, those kind of bigotry and biases will kind of, you know, peter away, hopefully.
I think they will. I agree. I think we've come so far. We've still got a long way to go, but that hopeful kind of attitude is important and not stupid. It's a realistic, hopeful place to get to. I think we will get there. We will. We have to. Definitely. Yeah. To round up your EP, these beautiful tracks. We finish with At Least We Tried.
Yes.
Tell me about it.
So this one, it's quite a quirky one. It's like, it's lyrically, it's basically saying, you know, no matter how hard it gets and no matter how tricky things can be, you know, at least we made the effort, at least we tried, at least we gave it everything. And then even if it failed, whether it's a relationship or a friendship or a struggle in life or something, it's kind of going, I'd rather try and fail than not give it a try at all, you know. But actually, sonically, it's quite wild. Like, it was so much fun to put together because it was basically, I always felt like it was a bit of like a closing, ends of movie, credits kind of track. And I wanted it to have that kind of old school Beatlesy feel, but with a kind of modern twist. And so we wrote it on a writing camp on like in a castle in Belgium. It was like so random.
Standard day.
It was so fun. And then ever since that day, I've listened back to it, and thought there must be a place for this to kind of fit on a project somewhere, but I just don't know where. And then when I was putting these songs together, I was like, oh, this is such a nice way to kind of close it up. Cause it's basically saying like, you know, even if a relationship, you know, doesn't work out, it's much better to have loved and lost than never loved at all.
Oh, that's so true. See how wise you are? Blossomed Texas into this beautiful, wise little bean.
Oh, I get it all from you.
Yeah. Yes. Well, it's a stonking EP.
Thank you.
You've done, as always, such an incredible job. And it's just so exciting to be listening to this journey, to see what's next, to, you know, as I've said, none of these tracks feel like strange departures. They don't feel out there. So it all feels very right from a listener punter point of view, who is so invested in you as an artist and you as a human. It's really exciting. So just onwards and upwards, my love.
Thanks.
It's beautiful. You're
thanks
the best.
Thanks so much. Thank you. I really appreciate it. And thanks for being willing to sort of sit down with me and chat about it. And thanks also for helping me like curate the tracks and putting it together. And yeah, you're a huge part of this. Just like you're a huge part of every project. So I love you very much.
I love you.
Yay! Thank you so much to Suri for joining me for this episode. I'm so grateful she was willing to sit down with me and have this conversation. If you haven't already, please go check out her beautiful new single, We'll Still Be Here, and also her album, Something Beginning With and Dozen. Now, to finish off this finale episode, we wanted to do something special. As you may know, the theme song for this podcast mini-series has been my song Growing Pains, so we decided to put together a little duet version of the song for you. Thanks again for taking a chance on this podcast with me. I really hope you're enjoying the EP, and I can't wait to hopefully meet some of you at a show sometime soon. But for now, to say goodbye, this is Growing Pains, featuring my big sis, Siri.
Cause I'm still missing me.